Welcome to B'nai Shuren's summer learning program. It's tremendous pleasure to have Raul again this summer return to give a series of shiurim. The base manager's program will continue this kolo boko. This week we have Rabbi Rice filling in for the next 2 weeks at 6:20 a.m. on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And in 2 weeks, Rory Feldman will then take over. To Rabbi Sobolowski will return at the end of August. There's a whole host of shiurim from Rabbi Sachs. Terry Weber, who will start his shiur next Tuesday, a week from this coming Tuesday. And please check the schedule for the shiurim. It's a tremendous course to have Rabbi Weil, who is a international known old Talmud Chacham and speaker, and sought after as executive director of the OU. It's a special course, as I mentioned last night, to announce that tonight's year is dedicated in the schuss of Lina Shama of the father of Eva Stern. Mr. Herman, who was a member of Shul, had a tremendous hashpa on all those who was misbal with him, specifically my boys, even at a young age. And this year should be a schuss to the Shama, Yeshua Ben Moshe. His favorite saying every time at the davening, he used to look forward, every tefillah, he used to go, Mila B'mila, the Kavana Tzuma, every time he came to Aleinu. But he lived his life that way. And it's an unbelievable schuss to have this year dedicated to him. So, Kol Gadol, Rabbi Weil.
Start this evening with 27, the 27th kina, and then go back to the 26th. You'll see why we're doing that, because the theme that comes up at the end of the 27th actually is a prelude to the 26th kina. These kinos, textually, they're not as difficult as some of the earlier kinos, and they get in certain themes that transcend the issue of Tisha B'Av. Well, let's start. One thing, you know, that I think we've all encountered, unfortunately, is you ever see someone who has gone through just a rough, miserable divorce? Or someone who's gone through, let's say, a rough, miserable lawsuit, the breaking up the partnership of the people who were lifetime friends and partners. And you look at this person and you say, you know, a year ago, that person looked 20 years younger. You look at the face, you look at the body, you look at the body language, you look at the hair, and it's not the same person you knew. They've aged 20 years in 12 months. And we've all seen that. We've also seen people, I know congregants, who after just going through a miserable, miserable divorce, you know, that they look 10 years older, but you know, something happens is 5, 6 years later, they come back to themselves, they meet someone, they have the confidence once again in themselves. And all of a sudden, they look 10, 15 years younger. We've all seen that in people. So imagine that image. Okay, imagine that image. But in this case, that image is the Jewish people. The person we're speaking about is the embodiment of Klal Yisrael. It's the embodiment of the Jewish nation. Az bimlo seifek yafa ketirtza. What happened? We're at the top of the 27th kina, in the Rebbe Soloveitchik kinos, the OU kinos, page 478 and 479. What happened? When the malos sefek, when the measure of our sins or of our corruption hit the point, the boiling point, so to speak, and the chorban came, this beautiful woman, Yafa Ketirtza, Tirtza is a description in Shir Shirin, we have this, of the gorgeous, beautiful maiden, the lover, in this case, the Jewish people. Even the angels, meaning even the cosmos, were horrified, were shocked. Ben Chilkiyahu me Armon Kiyatza, that when Yirmiyahu leaves, Armon is referring to the area of the Beis Hamikdash, when he leaves Jerusalem to follow in the footsteps of the captives, Isha Yefas Toar Minuvelas Matza. What did he find? It's like an oxymoron. This gorgeous, beautiful woman, the Yefas Toar, the woman that we refer to as Tirtza, What is she? Minuvelis. Despicable, disgusting, disheveled. And he says to her, Gozrani Alayich, I decree upon you, B'shem Elokim V'adam, in the name of God, in the name of humanity, Im Shem L'Shedimat, Oliv Ne'adam, what are you? Are you this demonic, horrific being, something that would come out of a sci-fi movie? Or are you a human? What are you? And on the one hand, it seems you have human qualities. It seems, you know, beneath the surface, there's dignity, there's grace. But on the surface, you're this horrific being that causes nightmares. Demus yathyech tebasav adam. On the one hand, you have a certain human image. But tachdech yaseh, the fear, the dread of just looking at you, kemalachim levadam, is like some supernatural creature. So the Jewish people respond. And again, the image of the woman is the Shir HaShirim image. Hein lo sheidani velo golem pachas. I'm not this demonic being. Yidu ha'yisi b'shuvah v'nachas. There was a time I was known in this state of respite, in a state of calm, of tranquility. V'hein l'shloshani. I belong to the three. U'l'shivim v'echad. To the 71 I belong to. U'l'shneim asar. And I'm the one who's the embodiment of the 12. V'shishim. And of the 60, v'echad. And the one. What are all these numbers? Who's the echad? Zeh echad Avram haya. In other words, I am the legacy. I'm the continuity of the first monotheist, of God's partner, of Abraham. Uben hashlosha avos shelishiyah. And I'm what? Remember, Abraham produced not just Yitzhak, but he also produced Ishmael, Islam, the Arab world. Yitzhak didn't just produce Yaakov, but he produced Esav, who produced the Roman Empire, who produced Christianity, the Christian world. Who am I? I am the one that was produced by all three. By Avram and Sarah, by Yitzhak and Rivka, by Yaakov, Rachel, and Leah. What is that? The Jewish people. And the of the Chut HaMashulash, right? The rope, the three pronged cord that is twisted and wrapped together in a strong way that it can't break. That's who I am. Chok Shneimasar Hein Hein Shifteka. I'm the product of the 12 tribes. The Shishim Rivo, the 600,000 Jews that left Egypt. I'm the embodiment, the continuity, the legacy of that nation that made the covenant at Har Sinai with God. The Shivu Dechad, and who am I? I'm the progeny, the student of the great 71 scholars, realizing at this point that what's happened, all 12 tribes are gone. They've all been exiled. 71, the Sanhedrin, is gone. It's exiled. Tani hakshivi vasi tshuva. So Yirmiyahu, now that he realizes this is not some demonic being, but it's the Jewish people. Tani, please give thought to this. Like from Tom, hakshivi, concentrate, vasi tshuva. Why don't you repent? Yan he Yosef kol kach hashuva. There was a time that you were so beautiful. There was a time that you were so gracious. You were so dignified. I mean, graceful, dignified. Why not return back to the glory? Now just stop for a second. There is an idea that the Rav used to talk about this quite often. We actually say it every morning. Elokai neshama shenasata bi tahorehi. God, the neshama that you placed in me is always pure. What's the whole idea of tshuva predicated upon? On the surface, we do things that are dishonest, that are corrupt, that are just insensitive. That's on the surface. But deep down, the neshama, in other words, that which defines us as human beings, is pure. We may have corrupted our personalities, we may suffer from ego, and that's kind of not just on an individual level, on a national level. But let's use the analogy of the individual. The reason that tshuva is always possible is because deep down underneath in our core, Elokai neshama shenasata bi tahorehi. That soul is pure. And what Yirmiyahu is saying to this demonic, horrific, terrible-looking creature is that externally you look disheveled. Externally you look terrible. But you know what? Your core is pure. Return to your pure, pristine core. That's what he's saying. You're never beyond the point of no return. You should no longer be called the wayward daughter. So the Jewish people respond in the embodiment of this woman. Ki eches mach. How can I rejoice? The koli ma'arim. How can I rejoice in your call out with pride and with dignity? Hein olalai nitnu biyad tzarim. My children, those that haven't been slaughtered, have been sent off and sold as slaves. Laku nevi'ai. The prophets that could steer me in the right direction, they've been smitten. The dam nugarim. Their blood is flowing. Galum melachai, sarai, koanai, the kolarim. The whole leadership, the whole infrastructure. A nation to function. I mean, just use the analogy. Think about America. We talk about that in 1952 there was 3% intermarriage. In 2012, we don't have the exact figures, but it's probably somewhere around 56, 58% intermarriage. How did you go from 3%? How did you have like a 20-fold increase? A 2,000% increase? You know how? Because we didn't have an infrastructure in this country. We didn't have a network of day schools, of shuls, of chesed organizations. We didn't have that kind of infrastructure. We spoke about it last week with the destruction of the infrastructure in Europe. So what's the point? She's saying, my nevi'ai have been smitten. Galu have been exiled. My leadership, the malachai, sarai, the political leadership, kohanai, the educational, religious leadership. How can we ever restructure? How can we rebuild the nation? Turning over, right now 480 and 481. Malon mikdashi, my holy temple, Baboni, because of my sin, Nadad. So to speak, the Almighty has left. It's just a shell now. Dodi me'az barach yudat, my beloved, the Almighty, has fled. Normally, the pleasantness of my tent, meaning of the place where I would have the rendezvous with my lover, with the Almighty, with God. Again, using the imagery from Shir Hashirim. Bal korchi shudat, against my will, it's been plundered. Rabasiyam, this city that was teeming with masses of people that would come for the holidays to learn the knowledge of God, to unify as a people. Echa yashra vadad. How could it be that it sits in such a desolate, desolate state? Just impossible to fathom. You know, it's the image, you know, think about what Vilna was in 1940. Think about Yom Kippur, 1940 in Vilna. Then think about what Vilna looked like in 42 or 43. And it's just impossible. It's impossible for us to fathom such a thing. That's what Yerushalayim was. You had over 1 million people coming. And in the next year, it's in ruins. So this woman, meaning the embodiment of the Jewish people, calls to Jeremiah the prophet. Pray, you speak to your God. This is the terms from Yeshaya, right? The storm-tossed, defeated, bruised, abused one. Adyana kel, the Yomar Daya, ask God, enough already, Daya, like from Dayenu, enough. God should save me from the sword. He should save me from captivity. So Yirmiyahu davens on behalf before his master. Now, by the way, what's the idea? You ever think about ourselves? Sometimes you're so tzabrachim, you're so broken. You think, there's a phrase that the rabbis use all the time. Ein chavush matir atzmo b'beis hasurim. Prisoner cannot emancipate himself from the prison. You need someone to get you out of prison. So to speak, we were so defeated, so broken, so depressed. We need someone to help us, to guide us, to get us out of this quagmire, out of this mess. Why do people go to a therapist? Because you can't be objective about yourself. You need someone who hopefully can be objective, to help you, to steer you, to guide you. Why do they go to a chacham? This is the idea here. So Yirmiyahu, the great chacham, the great metaphysician, the great Talmud Chacham, the person who's cared from day one for the Jewish people. We ask him to be our Shliach Tzibor, so to speak, to pray on our behalf, to lead us, to show us the way. So he says, Malei Rachamim, the master full of compassion, Rachem Ka'ab al-Bano, Tsa'ach, and he cries out, God cries out, Oy La'av Sheheglo Nino, woe to the parent that has to exile a child. I mean, think about what it takes. To have to throw out a child. To have to kick a child out of the home. But this is what God had to do for our own good. Because otherwise there was no stopping us from ourselves. No preventing us from ourselves. V'gam oy lebein, and woe to that child, the Jewish people, shebeshulchan avav eino. A child that can't come back and sit at the family seder. A child that cannot come back and sit down at a Friday night dinner. Here, we can't come back to Jerusalem. The Mikdash is destroyed. We've been thrown off our land. We can't come back. Kum lach Yirmiyahu. Please, Jeremiah, get up. Lama tefeshah. Don't be silent. Why are you quiet? Lech kara la'avos. Go to our forefathers and foremothers. Go to Aaron and Moshe. Roim yavou, kina lihinose. Tell the great shepherds of the Jewish people to cry out in kina. Ki zeh ve'erev tarflus aseh. You can tell the shepherd that the flock that they nurtured, meaning the Jewish people, has been ravaged and destroyed by the wild animals, by the wolves. Shorei kaya Yirmiyahu navi al machpeah. So what does Yirmiyahu do? He goes to Hebron, to Maras HaMachpeah. Noim kal, he roars like a lion. It's a new call to the Chiyavos Hatzvi. Wake up! Don't sit there lying there silent. Call on behalf of your children. Tol b'neichem. They've strayed. Harein hein b'shevi. They're in captivity. What's the idea here? We're going to develop this in the 2016. What's the idea here? It's important. I mean, imagine this situation. Let's say, for argument's sake, my last name is not a popular name today, Roberts. Okay? Come from the Yuchistika family. My father is the Chief Justice, John Roberts. Right? I'm going to go in front of the judge. Let's say it's a liberal judge, so it'll be favorable, right? Well, you're a Shagis. You're an Oysfor. But you're John Roberts' kid. Great man. Great visionary. A role model to me as a judge. On your own, you don't deserve it. But you know what? Because your last name is Roberts, we're going to take care of you. We're going to let you off very easily. Just a little slap on the hand. What would you say about that judge? He'd be thrown off the bench. That is a perversion of justice. That judge is worse than the criminal. Because he's perverted and corrupted the law. You don't do that. You judge a person based upon their deeds. If I committed a crime, if I'm an oyster and a criminal, I have to pay. Why? Because my last name is Roberts and this guy's last name is Smith or Jones? It's not right. That's a perversion. So what is the idea here? Chus avos, or we're going to use a different term, bris avos. What does it mean? Go to the avos. They should petition on your behalf. If I'm corrupt, it doesn't matter who my father is. It doesn't matter who my grandfather is. It's got to be, God has to be a melech lehei tzedok ha-mishpat. A melech ha-mishpat. God is a just God. That's not justice. So what's the whole idea of going to the avos? Because that's going to be the second theme. That's going to be the next kina. The idea is this. Because my ancestors are Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov, that in and of itself accomplishes nothing. What does it mean that it's a schus avos? When I am forced, in this case the descendants, when I'm forced to look at who I come from and what they represent, what does Avram stand for? What does Sarah stand for? What does Yitzchak and Yaakov stand for? What were the lives that they led, the lessons they imparted? And I turn to them as role models. And I realize I have the great honor of continuing their legacy. But that means I have to live up to their standards. It means I have to continue their legacy by abiding by their legacy, by internalizing their values and their principles. That's the schus avos. Schus avos doesn't mean because my last name is Roberts, I'm going to get off. Schus avos means that, let's say, as opposed to certain other communities, part of the tragedy in this country of the African-American community is there is no roots. There are no foundations. There are no pillars. There are no paternal male role models. Not in the short run, not in the long run. So who do they turn to? Who do they use as a role model? Who do they see themselves as a legacy of? No one. That's a tragedy. Jewish people, we turn back to Moshe. We turn back to Miriam. We turn back to Aaron. What's the point? I mean, you see it today in Israel. Bibi Netanyahu, he looks at his father. He looks at Zev Jabotinsky. He looks at Menachem Begin. So, no matter who Bibi is in and of himself, but he sees himself as being something more than Benjamin Netanyahu. He sees himself as responsible for the Jabotinsky legacy, for Begin's legacy, for his father's legacy. And you become something more than yourself. And it forces you to become a different human being, a different Jew. So using that as an analogy, that's what it means for a Jew. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Vilea. Moshe, Miriam, Aaron. You're a student of Rabbi Soloveitchik. That's what it means. A student of Rav Moshe Feinstein. That's the idea. Go back to Machpelah. And by the way, keep this in mind. Going back to Parshas Shlach. Who makes the detour into Hebron? Kalev. Vayavo. Doesn't say Vayavo. Vayo. He makes a detour. Why? Yehoshua ben Nun doesn't have to make that detour. Yehoshua ben Nun has the internal fortitude to withstand the peer pressure of his peers. Part of that is a function of his relationship with Moshe. Part of that is a function that he was given a name from Hosea to Yehoshua. You know, it was a traumatic experience. Moshe sensed there were problems. But Kalev saw himself giving in to peer pressure. He saw that he could falter. He makes a detour. He comes to Maris HaMachpelah. And that traumatic experience, realizing who is he? Hundreds of years later, he has the opportunity to fulfill the dream, to fulfill the destiny of everything that his progenitors stood for. Everything that they struggled for, he has the opportunity to bring it into fruition. And that traumatic experience of going to Machpelah, that gave him the internal fortitude that Yehoshua had without having to go to Maris HaMachpelah. So this is the idea. Yirmiyahu, so to speak, the leader of the people, the educator of the people, he goes to the Avos on behalf of the people, not that they should pray for him. This is not, we don't, it's not our religion. You don't go to a grave and ask them to be a good Tibetan. I know we use that language. A good Tibetan doesn't mean they should pray on our behalf. That's a violation of the Yud Gimel Yikarim. There are no intermediaries. We do not have intermediaries. That's not our theology. And that's, according to many, that's absolute heresy. It's a violation of everything. Every human being has a relationship with God. So if that's the case, why do we go to the Kever? There's a halacha. Tisha B'Av, you go to the Kever. Rosh Hashanah, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. What is the idea? On the Yortzeit, you go to the Kever. What's the idea? By coming there, to that place, where the eternal remains of our loved ones are, it's a traumatic experience. It's a very traumatic experience. And it forces us, in a concrete, tangible way, to see ourselves as the continuity. They're no longer on this earth. But we have to fulfill what they stood for and what they lived by. This is the idea here of going to Machpelah. And it ends. Shamei mikdash mibli vo'e moed. Nebuch, that mikdash, that was streaming. You know, Josephus writes they had over 1 million people converging on Jerusalem. And now it's desolate. Api yedidim nitnu limoed. Tishivein kemeyaz. Please, God, bring us back. It's the whole dialogue that you have in Eicha. We say to, what do we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Bring us back. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to us? Shuva Elai v'ashuva Lechem. You return to me, I will, and I'll bring you back. We say, no, you have to bring us back first. We need each other. I mean, Bahavdil, God doesn't need anything, but we can't do it without your help, God. Terachin Tzion Kibol Moed. Please, after all this millennia, have Rachmanis on Tzion. Tzion meaning the base of Mikdash. Enable us to come back, to once again be husband and wife, to have that intimate rendezvous, to live together in the same home as we did the Mikdash. Kivo Moed, the time has come already. What is Moed? Moed is an intimate rendezvous. It's a place where we convene with each other. Why do we call the holidays the Moadim? Because it was a place of, where the Jewish people, we came to the special, so to speak, special intimate place, which was designated for us in the Almighty. Kivo Moed. Now this theme of the Avos, the Schus Avos, what's the Schus? That we have the opportunity to study and learn from their lives, and we have the opportunity to take their values and principles and be the continuity. through doing that, that transforms us, right? Through living up to the standards of Rebbe Akiva. I mean, think about what happens on Yom Kippur, as an example. When we investigate the lives of the Asara Harugei Malchus, and what they were most nefesh for, we stand up to the plate to be their continuity, to be their legacy. That in itself is a kapara. Why? Because we're different people. That's a cathartic, transformative experience where we become different people. This is the idea with the avos as well. Okay. Let's go to 26, page 468 and 469 in the OU Rebbe Soloveitcher Kinos. Az Bahaloch Yirmiyahu Kivrei Avos. So we've got Yirmiyahu going to Machpelah, to the Kivrei Avos. The Naam, and he says, Atzamos Chavivos, you precious bones. Ma Atem Shochos, what are you just lying there for? B'nechem Galu, your children have been exiled. B'kum B'charavos, they've been destroyed. B'yezuchu, where is the Schus Avos? Didn't work for them, Beretz Taluvos. Why didn't the Schus Avos work? Obviously, because we didn't partake of it. We were afforded this beautiful opportunity, a Torah with Meforshim, with Midrashim, with principles of how to lead our lives, and what our values are, and what standards we should live by. And we ignored it. We didn't study it. We didn't internalize those values. That's where the Schus Avos went. In Adam Avu Brisa, Yezuchus Karusa, if they violated the covenant, but where is the merit of those whom the covenant was created on their behalf? Gaul Kulam Bekinan. So the others cried out, moaned out to the Almighty with Kinan, with lamentations, Al Chesron Banim, for the loss of their children. Dovavu Bekol Tachanunim. Again, what's Tachanunim? Petitioning the Almighty. Not because Midas Hadin demanded it, but out of petition. If you look at that verse, V'zacharti lehem bris rishonim, it's not really referring to the bris avos, so it's a midrashic approach to it. Rishonim here, in the context of what the Kalir is doing, is rishonim are the first Jews, right? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. It's not the pshat of the pasuk, but what he's saying is, where is the promise that you made to the Jewish nation that you would always remember the covenant with the progenitors? Ma'aseh lachem banai. So the Almighty responds, what can I do, my children? Zeira hi milfanai. This is the decree. What is the decree? When you pervert and when you corrupt everything that the Avos stood for, you can't ask for Schus Avos. Spelling it out now, what did they do? Right, from the word tamura. They switched. They did a flip-flop, right? Where they traded chokhmah and monotheism and ethical values for garbage, for nonsense. Below pachadu, there was no sense of reverence of the system. I should conceal my eyes from that, the Almighty says. Below shavuun, with all the opportunities they had to do true, but they didn't. Eich esatak al amiris lohu. This is a quote from Yirmiyahu. The Almighty says, how can I refrain myself? When they said, it's nothing, lohu, he's nothing, his system is nothing, it's meaningless, it's garbage. How can I do that? You're asking for Schus Avos? This is the 180 degrees the opposite. This is a violation, this is a corruption, a perversion, a bastardization of Schus Avos. Ink Adam Avru Bris, Ayezuchus Kurusim. Let's continue. Zaak Av Hamon Bavuran. Who is the father of the multitude of nations? He cried out on their behalf. Avraham. Again, it doesn't mean literally. It means that it's an idea here that's being conveyed. It's a non-literal kina to convey an idea. It's as if Avraham comes up from the grave and he cries out to God. V'chinein, and he petitions Pnei Kel Ram, the Almighty, the lofty Almighty. Chinam Nusesi Yesu Bechinas Avraham. For naught, for no reason did I go through the 10 tribulations. Now what is my reward? To see their destruction? Where is the promise that you said? My great fear that what would become of my descendants. And you said, Altira, at the Bris Bein of Sarim, the famous covenant of Jewish history. You said, don't be afraid, don't be worried, don't be nervous, Abraham. What happened to that promise? So the Almighty says, Ma'aseh lechem banai, gezeirahim ulfanai. And he spells it out. What can I do? What can I do? It is a decree before me. Meaning what? Next paragraph. Ta'u lehizaros. What did they do? They erred. They estranged themselves. Bavodazaros. The most primitive, disgusting, worthless things. That's what they turned into their sense of of reality. Yatsu lachto boros boros nishboros. Instead of digging wells of water that would nourish them, water, mayim, is always, on a physical level, the analogy for Torah. Instead of digging wells that would give them life and sustenance, what did they do? They dug wells that were cracked, that were broken, that there would be no source of life. You, Avram, you said to me, what about the 10 tribulations I underwent? It's the basis of our theology. If you take Saadia Gaon's famous statement, that the Aseret HaDibros encapsulate and embody all of Judaism. In fact, the Azharos of Rabbeinu Saadia Gaon, many had the minhag that on Shavuos night, what would they do? Each of the 10 categories of the Decalogue, they would read all the mitzvos that fit under that category. They were the paradigms of the embodiment of the whole system. So they've nullified it, they've trashed it, they violated it. And you're asking me, what about the 10 tribulations? Turn the page, please. We're now going to 470-471. So Yitzchak cries out, Pnei Shochi Shachat. Again, approaching the Almighty. I was, this is something like Rashi, that he was not a kid, but he was 37 years old. For naught was I willing to be slaughtered? I was willing to give up my life, my sense of commitment to you. Where's your commitment to my descendants? Now you see the real slaughter. They're being just slaughtered, wiped out. Where's the commitment that you made? I will establish my covenant with Yitzchak. So the Almighty responds, what can I do, my children? This is a decree before me. What is a decree? I sent them a prophet, a mentor, someone who would guide them, would steer them, would transform them. And they rebelled against him. That very mountaintop that you sacrificed, that you made the ultimate commitment to a godly lifestyle, look at what they've done. They've taken that mountain and they've placed idols on it. If you look in Yechezkel and you look in Yirmiyahu, they were worshipping the Avodah Zarah in the Har Bayis itself. The Almighty says, I tire of hearing the cry that rises up from oblivion. But you want to know something? That very mountain that you sanctified, that you defined as a place for commitment to godly values, you know what they did on that mountain? We mentioned this last week. They took the Navi, Zechariah from Bayis Rishon, not Zechariah HaNavi from Bayis Sheni. They took him. They butchered, they slaughtered him, their teacher. He was a Kohen. They killed him when? On Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash. You know, they call it the Chipper Jones tour. He's 40 years old. It's his last year. Every place that he goes to, you know, they give him a Mishaberach and they're standing ovation and they give him an honor every city. So he went 5 for 5, only the third time in his career in almost 20 years of baseball. This was 5 for 5. This was Chipper Jones 5 for 5. You killed a Navi who's a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos. And then all of them come in all go knowing, like nothing happened. Yeah, oh. It's like the news cycle, right? We move on, you know. Next. You ask, where is the covenant that I made with you? If they live by that covenant, if they'd be committed to your value system, if they wouldn't take the very place that you sanctified and destroy it in terms of spiritually corrupting the place, then we could talk. Again, being a descendant of Yitzhak in of itself is not going to save anybody. The schus of having Yitzhak as our predecessor, as our progenitor, is that we can look and analyze his life and take his values and internalize those values and be committed to those values. That's the schus. Sahula Basela Demos Kisonim Zolik. Now it's Yaakov's turn. Literally like a river full of tears. Because remember we said earlier, Yaakov is the one who created the nation. The nation doesn't come from Yitzchak, because he also produced the Roman Empire, he also produced Christianity. The nation doesn't come from Avram, because he also produced Islam, the Arab world. Who is the progenitor of our nation, of our Yaakov? That's why we're called Beth Jacob, Beis Yaakov. That's why we're called Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel. He produced us. Eich gazu meni becheles. And look what's happened to them. Eich hafra meni damin bedamin kama elef. Look at the thousands of Jews that are being slaughtered. So the Almighty responds, Ma esel lachem banai gezerim ofanai. Patzlo enelman. Moshe gets in the act. The trustworthy shepherd, the one who shepherded us, who took us from a nation of illiterate pagan slaves and nurtured us and transformed us into the Dordea, the generation of wisdom, of knowledge. Kafus be'efer meduma. Ground into ash and dirt. Sol nesher b'cheti ha'aman. This flock that in my bosom I nursed them, I literally took them and nurtured them into the people of the book, into a light into the nations. Eich gazu b'lozman. It's like, when is it going to end? Generation after generation, the Jewish people are slaughtered, are butchered, are attacked. Vayei haftachas kilo aman. Where's the promise that you promised that it would not be an orphan nation? Now it's interesting. You don't have the response to Yaakov, you don't have the response to Moshe. Now who jumps in? Not the male leaders of the people, but our imahos, our female progenitors, the foremothers. Is this still going? For those just listening, I apologize, I knocked this over. Kol b'chi Leah, the voice of Leah crying, nisofetas alavaveha, beating her heart, beating her bosom. Can you imagine the pain? You're hitting yourself, just so distressed, distraught. Rachel achosa, Rachel her sister, nivaka albaneha, crying over her children. You know, by the way, the probable location of Kever Rachel is not the Bethlehem that we go to. Bethlehem means what? A place where they could get food and lodging. There are many Bethlehems, there are many Beit Lechems in Israel. But the Beit Lechem that Rachel is buried at is not where Moses Montefiore tomb was until we had to make it into literally a fortress because of the Palestinians. But it's probably north of Yerushalayim as you're going into Mate Binyamin. Just think about where did the Babylonians take the Jews after the Churban Bayis Rishon? They didn't take them south into the Judean hills. They took them north along the Via Maris, what you and I call Highway 60, going north. You know, and the Arabs have a tradition which precedes them as to where the place of Beit Lechem is that Rachel's buried. It's along the road, and it's before you get to Ramallah, it's along the Highway 60 as you're going north. That's probably, you know, when it says that they come, the Haftarah we read on Rosh Hashanah, they come to Kever Rachel, Rachel Mivaker Albaneha, Me'anola Hinachim. She's crying over her children, refusing to be comforted. We're going to come to the famous Medrash on that Haftarah of Rosh Hashanah, because that's what the Kalir is alluding to. And I just want to make a comment. We're reading here about Leah and Rachel. The next line, Zilpah, Makaf, Zilpah's hitting her face, just in distress and pain. Bilhah Mekonemes B'sheyayah, taking her two hands, lifting it up, saying lamentations before the Almighty. It's got all four, the four mothers of the nation. Bilhah, Zilpah, Rachel, Leah. In the Psichta that this is based upon, the introductory Medrash to Medrash Eicha, it's just got Rachel. And you'll see God's response in the Kalir's words comes to the four mothers that produced the nation, not to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But in the Psichta, his response comes to Rachel. Why Rachel? His idea is this. Rachel, for the sake of her sister, she forfeited the man that she would have spent the rest of her life with, would have built a nation with. Can you imagine? She gave up her love, her husband. Why do we call co-wives a tsara, an adversary, a source of distress and pain? Because by definition, how can you share the same man, the same lover? But she did that because she had a sense of some sensitivity and love and care for her sister. She didn't want her sister ending up with Asa. So the very simanim that she had, the secret code words, etc., she gave them over to her sister. She's on the ground under the bed. Instead of it being her wedding night with her husband, she's on the ground so that way you can hear her voice. He knows the difference between Leah and Rachel's voice. It's her voice. It's dark, so he doesn't see that. He doesn't realize that it's not Rachel. That's the ultimate sacrifice. Discuss that. And what does that mean? Discuss that. What does that mean? What this kina, and before that, what the Haftarah that we read on Rosh Hashanah says, in the psichta that this kina is based upon, the introductory medrash to medrash Eicha, is saying the following. When we are thrown off our land because of our corruption and because of our perversion, when we're destroyed and we're forced to go into exile, what keeps us as a Jewish people? What enables us to survive? What enables us to have the potential to rebuild and to come back and restore our relationship with the Almighty? You know what it is? Treating each other like brothers and sisters, looking after each other. Maintaining the Jewish family, the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. We won't have a Beis HaMikdash. We won't have our own land. We won't be in control of our own destiny there. We're refugees. We're greener. We're fugitives. But if we look after each other and keep the bond between the people, the brothers and sisters, keep the family, ultimately, mother and father will, in this case, the Almighty, of course, will bring us back. What Rachel did to Leah was the ultimate sacrifice that one does for a family member. The ultimate sacrifice that you do for a sister. And it kept them a family. And Leah is not lost to the family. Rachel sacrificed her future. She sacrificed the most precious thing she had for her sister. That is the story of the Jewish people in Gullus. That's the only way we're going to survive the Gullus. That's why in the Psichta, the Almighty answers Rachel. Now look at the answer of the Almighty, the last paragraph. Shuvu tmimim limnuchaschem. Return, you pure ones. Not the corrupt, not the perverted, because again, deep down, we are precious. Deep down, our pristine soul is not tainted. What's to the menucha? To our homelands, the place where we have, the only place that we ultimately will have rest. Malei amalei kol mishon losechem. The Almighty says, and as opposed to before where he rejected the request, he rejected Avram, rejected Yitzhak, rejected Yaakov. But when you see the response to Rachel, I fulfill your request. I will fulfill your request. Now it's interesting. Here, Khalir has all four mothers. If you notice something here, the fathers, even though they were crying out, they were giving logical, rational arguments. You know, what about this, and why not because of that, and because I did this, shouldn't my descendants be entitled to that? The mothers don't do that. They don't try to argue or rationalize with the Almighty. They're just devastated. They're broken. And you know, a lot of times you see that. Think about Rosh Hashanah. With the most sublime, sophisticated prayers that we say of Malchus, Zichronus, and Shofus, when it's all said and done, what do we do at the end of each of those prayers? It's a breakdown crying. Yom Teruah. What is Yom Teruah? The Teruah sound is a cry. The Teruah is a cry of like a baby cries. The Shvarim is like an adult cries, moaning and groaning. What's Shvarim Teruah? It's the process of you starting to moan like an adult and you just totally break down like a child. It's a day of Teruah. That's what they did. It just broke down. We have that famous Gemara in Brachos. I think it's in Tanis also. The Charei Tfilos Minalu. Sometimes the gates of prayer are closed. They're locked. Charei Demos, the gates of tears, are never locked. They're always open. They always have an access to the Almighty. What does it mean? What does it mean, the gates of tears? Here's the idea. They're beating their chest. They're hitting their face. They're just throwing up their hands. Look at this paragraph. It's so sincere. It's so real. It's not logic. It's not rationale. It's not trying to make a case before God. It's just sincere emotions. And God responds to that. He says something very powerful, how the Rav explained the last line. Shulachti Bavel Lemanchem. I have been sent into Bavel because of you, or for your benefit, depending on how you translate that. What's the idea? The Almighty says, don't worry, you won't be lost. You know why? Because we say in Aramaic, Shechinta Begalusa, the perceived presence of God is also in Galus, is also in exile. God goes into exile with us. He didn't just cast us into exile. God goes into exile with us. God is in Auschwitz. God is in Treblinka. When Gilad Shalit was sitting there in a rat's nest in Gaza, the Almighty was with him. I met Gilad Shalit. I spent some time with him last week. He looks like a mensch. He's got good color. You know, he's got a smile on his face. You can dialogue with him. That's Shulachti Bavel Ramanchem. Hinini Mishove Galus Benechem. Behold, I take an oath, I will bring your children out of Galus. He turns to them, he says, I'll bring them back. So the Medrash has a fascinating imagery. You're given a diamond, a gorgeous diamond, precious, you know, perfect diamond. But there's a fear you're going to lose the diamond. What happens if it gets lost? It's the most, you know, that's your precious asset. So they attach to that diamond a huge chain, a long chain. That chain can't be lost. It goes for, you know, miles and miles. And there's a chain everybody stumbles over. What's the idea? The Jewish people will be, our fear is that that's what the Avos and Imos are crying about, will be lost in Galus. Be lost. God says no. He attaches himself. That's the huge chain. The Almighty attaches himself to the children. So no matter where they go, the Jewish people will not be lost. And think about it. Never, ever in the annals of human history has a people after two millennia come back to its homeland, come back to its place. Never. That anyone could fathom such a thing, that after two millennia, we would come back. No matter where we were dispersed, no matter what we suffered, We read the stories of Israel, the Beis Hamikdash, Tisha B'Av. You know the famous story with Napoleon. I've heard three versions of it. Did it happen in France? Was it when he was going to war against Russia? Did it happen in Belarus on his way in the trek against Russia? Wherever it happened, you know, he and his men had come across to a wheat bay, and all the Jews are sitting there wailing and saying these kinnas. And he sends his men, and he says, what's going on there? They're sitting on the floor, they're mourning, they're disheveled. He told them, we're reliving, today's the day of our destruction. We're reliving that event and the terrible calamities throughout our history. We're wailing and mourning our precious homeland. So Napoleon Bonaparte said, he says, a people like that, that never forgets where it is from, and never forgets its homeland, people like that ultimately will be destined to return to its place. We've lived to see what Napoleon said. Because remember, Tisha B'Av, in the 3 weeks that we're entering now, it's not a history lesson. We actually, every Jew is in the Avelus. On Tisha B'Av, what happens? Every Jew is Misha Mesamuta Lefanav. It's like you've just lost a loved one. It's between the death and the burial. And what's the funeral that we're attending? The funeral, the calamities of the Jewish people. The kinos, those are the hespedim. The kinos are the eulogy over the loss and the destruction. But what does the Almighty say? He didn't send us into Galus. He went into Galus with us. If you look in Parshas Nitzavim, it says Vishav, not Vaheshiv. God will bring the Jews back. Vishav. God will return from Galus. Shechinta begalusa. The perceived presence of God is in Galus. I mean, God himself goes with us into exile. That's his idea. Shulachti bavel lemanchem. In order that you will not totally be lost and destroyed, I go into Galus with you. And that's the answer that the Almighty gives.
what's the just to review that key point from the psichta, from the introductory medrash. How do we enable ourselves to survive Golus, to be worthy of coming back? By never forgetting that we're family. By using the model of Rachel Imenu. So that there's a family, there's a people, there's a nation that ultimately remains that nation. As opposed to everyone else who becomes assimilated, everyone else who just via dilution becomes part of the culture and the society they're in. The Jew is always Ger V'Toshav. We can be we are the most loyal Americans there are. You prick us, we bleed red, white, and blue. But what? We're still a Ger. Ger V'Toshav Anochi Nochem. We're going to have a unique destiny, a unique educational system, a unique value system. It manifests itself in many ways. So at the same time that we're loyal and we become part of a society, we always remain unique and distinct. And how do you do that? A Jew is not just another American. A Jew is my brother. A Jew is my sister. What Rachel did for Leah, we do for each other. Ad Hayom Hazeh, 2 millennia later, in our lifetime, we've all experienced Operation Solomon, Operation Moses with the Ethiopians, Operation Exodus with the Russians. What do you and I have in common with somebody who's been a product of 70 years of communism? What do you and I have in common with someone who speaks Amharic, who halachically isn't Jewish, but considers themselves a Jew, who doesn't have the same culture, the same approach? They're our brother. They're our sister. And that's what's kept us. It's kept us unique and distinct, and it enables us to survive the Golus. What Rachel did for Leah, we do for each other. And ultimately, because of that, Father brought us back home. Father brought us back into the house. Not the ultimate house, the Beis Hamikdash. We're not there yet. We have a long way to go. But we've seen in our lifetime partial fulfillment of this kingdom. So these are some of the themes of the kinos, which are not just unique to the 3 weeks and to Tisha B'Av, but they really reflect the hashkafas olam of our Torah and of our theology. I want to go back, and that's where we're going to end, on where we started with the 27th kina that we analyzed. You ever see the pictures of the Jews after the liberation of the camps? I mean, horrific. That a human being could look that way, that a human being could be turned into that? Those same people, 4 or 5 years later, after Mohammed HaShikhur, settling in Israel, taking a barren wasteland, a desert, and making it blossom, building cities, building yeshivas, that those people, who could have imagined what they would produce and what they would become? How that wilting, wilting leaf blossoms into the most gorgeous, beautiful flower. That's the image you have here. So here is the image of what happens in the time of Chorban. But that neshama shenasata b'tahori, that pure neshama, it caused what? It caused the Jewish people to blossom. And today, the very same people that were broken, that were menuvelis, are ultimately our role models. Ultimately, they're the most cheery, the most bright, the warmest, the most finest of all. So, to a certain degree, We've seen the Tchiyas HaMeisim, literally the Tchiyas HaMeisim of our people, going from being what appears as a shade to being once again the Eish HaShifas Toar, to once again the Tirtza. Lisbe Achatzi Nechama. Achatzi Nechama that we've lived in a generation where we can see and experience and participate in what we've seen, both here and, of course, in our precious tiny homeland. Thank you.